The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Along with Michael Coleman is the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. This is Mission Minded. We do it every single week. It's a show you can hear fresh and live right here on Tony Curry Radio. Thanks to the hundreds of thousands of folks who have downloaded the TKR app. We went over 100,000 just several months ago, and we continue to blow and go here with 14 different shows. And, of course, all of our shows available on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. You can hear those on They Live in Infamy Forever, including Mission Minded, Keeping Your Mind, Your Mission, Your Mind. Michael, how are you doing, brother? Everything good? Happy Easter, after Easter, and happy spring.
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm always excited for Mondays because get to get busy from the weekend to get back into the food banking building world, and but also get to spend 30 minutes with my friend Tony and to talk about things that hopefully are relevant to those who are listening to us.
There you go. And I always look forward to it as well. It's one of my favorite shows to do. And today we're going to be getting into colleges, why Americans aren't going to college anymore. And I think this is a really interesting thing to talk about. I've done a little research, and it's amazing because, you know, when you do research on the internet, you really know you have to look for reputable sites because everyone's got their own blog and what they think. And so I've seen several sites where it says that 75% of all jobs available in 2022, you must have had a bachelor's degree in order to get that job. And then I've seen other sites where it says it's roughly 50-50 between college educated jobs and then just plain skill jobs. What has been your experience throughout your livelihood and where we're headed when it comes to job experience and college experience?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the higher paying jobs for a long time, it was about going to college. I mean, I raised both my daughters. I never expressed to them if you go to college, it was always when you go to college. So there was an expectation built in. Because especially for women, I didn't want them growing up being dependent on anybody else or having the inability to not go out and secure employment and enough employment to take care of themselves and maybe their children. So I was just stuck in that mold, which is, you know, you go to college and you become a professional. And but the world is quickly changing around us. And I would tell you, from an employer standpoint, that's certainly not my view anymore.
Okay. You've left me hanging here. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know if you want me to catch my breath first.
No, I don't want you to catch your breath. You've got my interest now. Why is that? Because I will tell you right now, I have an 18-year-old son who's going to graduate from high school here in about a month. He's been accepted into no less than 9 different colleges. I'm very, very proud of him. But I'm also coming from the standpoint that, you know, I went 2 years to college and then it was either move or go back to school. And I loved what I was doing. And therein lies the big difference. I don't want my kids to do something. My brother, for example, went to 4 years of college, technical college, and did something that he absolutely hated for about 35 years. And I don't want my son to be in a position where he does not enjoy his job. I don't know what the numbers are. I think the last thing I saw earlier this morning was roughly 13% of Americans actually love what they do for a living. That's sad.
Yeah, it really is. And so as an employer, what I try to do is, you know, in the past you would have blue collar and white collar. That was just an easy way. And so white collar would require some type of degree.
Yeah.
And because you would expect them to be professional. And so you would expect them to be more well-rounded and all of those kind of things. And to some degree, some of that, a lot of that's still out there. But the truth of the matter is, I've seen some of the most competent and intelligent people in my circle of influence that didn't go to college. And of course, you hear all the stories about the Bill Gates of the world, you know, starting Apple out of their out of their family garage. Yeah. Bill Gates putting it all to Windows together and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about those that are just, you know, truly brilliant people. I'm just talking about your average Joe. And the reality is, I do think that there's value in college, but I've really, when I look for an employee, you give me somebody who can think, just has a sense of self-awareness, somebody who is a hard worker, has a great work ethic, somebody that is going to be a part of the team. I look for qualities in the individual. And so if somebody says, well, I have a degree, and lots of times with job applications, I put college degree preferred, because generally the more educated they are, they're going to write better. They're going to they've been exposed to a lot more things in general. But the reality is, I'm not going to hire somebody just because they have a degree. Now, sometimes you'll have businesses that are so technical that, like coding and all those other kind of things, although, you know, some people learn to code, they learn to code on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't have the weight that it used to be. And so a lot of people are reevaluating and say, wait a minute, do the pros still outweigh the cons of sending my kid to school for 4 years? And so that's what I've been reading about and looking at. And so when I still wanted it for my girls, and now I've got grandsons that are getting up to be teens,
yeah.
Early teens. And so I'm sitting here going, like you, I'm like, well, do I still want that for them, or do I want them to take a different path where they're just going out and learning a skill that they can still make a great living from, start their own business, go through an apprenticeship program, but learn something that they could build off of for the rest of their life?
Michael Coleman here, mission-minded. He is, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. They cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. Do great work, and we're starting a brand new show with them coming up in the next couple of months. Really excited about that. Okay. Great interviewers and great interviewees. Give the interviewer like a 10,000 more questions, and I'm scribbling down this every time you reopen your mouth. If my son was doing something or get an opportunity to go do something that he really loved right now, and I will use radio as an example.
Because that's
what I did. I was blessed enough to have already gotten a job in commercial radio. And I never said I didn't want to go to college. And so I was just assumed I was going to college. I got in. My dad was a newspaper distributor. It wasn't like, you know, we had a lot of money rolling around. I got the Pell Grants and I had to pay for my own college. But I ended up doing what I really love to do, despite the fact that I did not graduate and I had 2 years of college. I think it's different. And again, we're talking about 18, 19 year olds, right?
Sure.
I can certainly see the allure, and certainly skill jobs are paying a lot more now than they used to back
right.
the generation that just over the last two generations just changed so much. And so when you know, hang a $35,000 or $40,000 a year job in front of a high school senior, yeah, that looks really, really good. And then again, depending on your social economic situation, are you paying for your college? Is your family paying for your college? Are you going to have to pay it back? There's so many different things. I wouldn't even know where to go from that point on. Let me back it up though. You bring up something very interesting. When you say it's preferred that someone has a college education, I think we'd all like to further our education. Obviously, you know, high school, grade school, middle school, you go through it for 12 years. And I really think that as we get older and we are about that 18, 19 year old age, we start to mature. I think our brains are starting to grow a little faster at different levels as well. To have that extra 4 years of education is not only great for another job, but it's certainly important for us from a budgetary standpoint, from a social economic standpoint, from an economic standpoint, period. What's your thoughts on ask if you've got the money to do it? Hey, listen, it may not be what you want to do, but I think having a business marketing degree would be a great thing to have in your back pocket, despite the fact you want to go build airplane engines at General Electric. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so there are still some incredibly positive things about going to college. And if you are blessed enough to come from an environment to where your parents can pay that, they've set aside money, or maybe the amount of a college investment, which is now averaging about $30,000 a year, you know, just public school. And that's just tuition. That's not all the living expenses and everything else. But $30,000 a year, you know, maybe they've set aside $120,000, $150,000, and they can pay for you to go, or And so are there advantages to that? Well, of course, you get exposed to other people who come from other areas. Your socialization skills will increase. You get exposed to some things at college that you don't otherwise, good and bad, as we know. There can be a lot of pressure at college to do a lot of things that I don't think your parents would be too happy about, but we know what that's about. But in terms of just development, there's a ton of advantages just going another 4 years and developing, working your way through adolescence into early adulthood. So you would think, well, somebody who has gone and graduated from college, they've actually achieved something, they've had to work towards something, they've got it. So they come to you, even if they're 22, that's, you would think, well, they at least have more experience than this 18-year-old. They've further developed their minds. They've grown up. They've just encountered more things than this 18-year-old. And in theory, might be more mature. But, lots of times I've seen people where jobs where people say, yeah, we prefer a degree. And then lots of times they'll give you an area like, well, we'd like you to something in, so, in humanities or a degree in X, Y, or Z, just very broadly. And so what you see is that, yeah, they, and on some level, they value a degree, but it really is not something specifically that you've learned at college that you're bringing to bear on the job. A college degree just shows that you can, in theory, read and write, and you can attend class, and you have a certain amount of maturity, because there's really nothing very much you're learning at college to bring into a job. Most of the things that you learn at college, you come to a job and they're like, yeah, that's what you learned in school. This is real life. This is what we're going to teach you. So I don't think it's the education itself or the skills that you learn there. I just think it's part of the greatest advantage that I see is just the maturation process and the brain developing and just working your way through adolescence. But what you have to ask yourself is, well, look, if I'm the one shelling out that money or worse, borrowing the money, and look, mm-hmm. I know what I speak of. I was in the military, did not had to pay for every bit of my education, what the military didn't pay for. I didn't have the GI Bill because I was so stupid when I signed up. I was like, oh, I'll never want to go to college. So I ended up paying for all of it out of pocket. And it took me so many years. I mean, I'm through paying my student loans. But I mean, what a heavy financial burden that was. And, but for me, it opened up some doors. And I'm just not sure as time continues to go on that a degree is going to be the master lock that opens up every door that you need it to. Is it, are you better off starting on the ground floor and learning as you go along and gaining your experience in the job rather than gaining it in the classroom?
MAFB.org, MAFB.org. You can find the Montgomery Area Food Bank. Wonderful organization. Michael Coleman is the CEO, and he joins us right here with Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. I'm Tony Curry. We do it every single week. And of course, you can hear the shows on our podcast networks. And we're fixing to change some things up there too, so some restructuring. So the show is even more readily available and going to be heard by more people. I love the people I work with. I actually sent a text message, emailed Lars Anderson, who's a friend of mine, who's a professor at the University of Alabama, and I was asking if he had any questions, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, and he threw an interesting question. He said, ask Michael how important it is to have a degree from a known university. Now, anytime you turn the TV on, you see New Hampshire University, you see Grand Canyon University, you see these universities that are only online. Doesn't matter if you have a 4-year, and you can get them in a year and a half, 2 years, depending on how hard and fast you want to work. Doesn't matter whether you have a degree to Alabama or a degree from New Hampshire University when you're going to get a job.
I will tell you, in most cases, yes. And this is somebody who, because I was in the Army, I ended up getting my master's degree when online education was just coming out. And I did it because it was specifically in ministry. It had Christian doctrine written in there. And so that just wasn't available where I was. So I chose to do mine through the internet. Now, I'll be the first to say that doing college on the internet doesn't mean that it's easy. because you have to be self-disciplined. There's not a class you have to go. I mean, you have to be locked in and do it and do it well. However, I will tell you that I have personally seen the difference of the work requirements and the value of the education based on those in my inner circle who have done both. So I will tell you, my daughter last year, or maybe it's maybe 2 years ago now, got her PhD the old-fashioned way. Okay, she got her. It was through Salve Regina, which is a prestigious university in Newport, Rhode Island, I believe it is. That primarily it does masters, but primarily does doctorate work. And I saw the amount of research she had to do her PhD, and so she's since published two books. But it's because she knows how to effectively research. She has the background for that because the school had such a high standard and it demanded that. And so some of these online courses, I also had an employee who went to Walden University. Now, I'm not pleased. For those of you out there who may have gotten a degree from Walden, I'm not criticizing it at all, but online PhDs and doctorate degrees have just proven to be not as rigorous in terms of academic standards. And I'm not even saying that they should be. What I'm saying is that there's a clear difference. Now, sometimes you just have to check the block. So if it's like, hey, you've got to have a doctorate, and you say, yeah, I do. It's from Walden. It's an online university. And that may be good for the employer. But when you're going up against somebody who got it a more traditional way, that has a, you know, 250-page dissertation versus some of the dissertations I've seen come out of the online education field, they just simply don't stack up as well. And so the question is that employer just looking to check the block? Yeah, I just need somebody. Yeah, you got a doctorate, you're good. Or are you really demanding that? So to answer your question, it really all depends on who's doing the hiring and that. But to me, from what I've seen, I'm sure there's our listeners have could point out anecdotally, you know, different standards and different experiences. But I think the traditional way has proven to be, if you're looking at how rigid the standards are, or how tough the standards are, the amount of work that has to go into it, your traditional paths are still much more difficult than your online education.
Michael Coleman, Mission Minded, every single week right here on the TKR app. Download the TKR app if you're podcasting the show right now, and you get this show as well as 13 other shows. We have three more shows in development just in time for summertime, and you can hear all the shows wherever you get the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. When I took my son up to Xavier last week, we walked around, and they, of course, did a nice little demonstration for us before we actually walked the campus. And they have a 98% job placement mark at Xavier. If you have a degree, a four-year degree, you have a 98% chance of them finding you a job in your major, which is really amazing. I don't know how that compares to other colleges, but that's pretty amazing. And then another email here, info@tonycurryradio.net. And I actually reached out to a couple of my friends because I knew we were going to be doing this show about a half an hour ago. But Brian R., who is a professor at Jefferson State University, he said, please ask Michael about the advantages of college education in the resourcing and networking available through your classmates. I've told my son, he goes to Indian Springs. Most kids that go to Indian Springs have a ton of money. I'm certainly not one of them. We've got a scholarship, or else we could have never afforded to send him there. But I tell him, I said, man, when you keep in touch with these kids you're going to high school with. Now, I wouldn't normally tell that to any other high school kid, because not to say that our high schools aren't Indian Springs, but I know what happens there at Indian Springs. But once you get to college, network with your friends and network with people that are outside your major, because if you've got three or four really close friends in college, you can do business with those folks your entire life and make a living out of it. Can you talk about that? Because normally we don't think about networking with high school kids as much as we do in college.
Yeah, well, that's 100% true. I mean, when you're looking at the pros of college, there are countless times where I've built relationships with people. Of course, I was in the military all this time and did all my college in a very non-traditional way.
Did you make a lot of relationships in your service?
Yeah. I still have friends that I stay in touch with through Facebook. I mean, mostly through social media.
Yeah.
That we built close relationships with, but it's very much the same thing, because as you encounter people, you build tight relationships. And so we know that there's certain families that come from certain backgrounds, well-to-do families. You end up establishing, not because of that reason, but you just end up establishing a lifelong relationship, either through a sorority, through a fraternity, or just, you know, you're in classes a lot, or you're in the same social settings and you build relationships. Let me tell you, people go back to that well time after time after time as things come up in life. And one of the things I have learned is I've built a network outside of the military, obviously, but that was not something that I had when I got here. So lots of times once I got into the network, there would be people that I have relationships with that would go, oh, I've got an old college buddy who his family does this. Let me call them and see what they can do. And so the bottom line is networking is just huge, period. And college is a great place to establish forever relationships, not only with the person, but just with the whole relationship with the family. And so he's right. I mean, that it is a huge advantage versus you leaving high school and going straight into trade school. Now, I haven't really talked a lot about it, but let me just throw this out. You know, the state of Alabama does a phenomenal job, and we're one of the leaders, I think, in the nation. And you don't hear that a lot about our wonderful state. I love the state of Alabama, but lots of times you'll hear that we're in the bottom half or the bottom 10 in a lot of things. But I think what we do very well is workforce development, and we've opened up our community college. We have 25 community colleges and about 130 campuses throughout the state of Alabama. And so we've made it really easy to get higher education or to get skills, whether you want to, you know, go into welding or whether you want to coding or other type things. And so lots of times that's a better fit for people. There's people who they either can't afford it or they simply don't desire to leave home. They're not ready. They're not mature enough to leave home. And so that's a large part of our workforce at 18. Now, when they graduate, they're like, well, I still want to develop. I still want to grow as a person, but I'm not ready to go move off to another community and develop that right now. And so community college and trade schools and things like that are great opportunities to not just learn a skill, but to learn a skill that if you dedicate yourself to that, you can make a phenomenal living. I'm telling you, people who are trying, I get it. It's dirty work sometimes being a plumber or being an HVAC guy, but I have several friends who own HVAC businesses and mm-hmm. they make good money.
Yeah.
They can't meet the demand of what their job brings about. And they also have the comfort of knowing they're never going to be without a job. You're always going to need an electrician. You're always going to need an HVAC guy. You're always going to need a plumber. So they will always, they have that security of, they actually possess a skill that other people in a functioning society will always need.
I don't know if I'd want my son to ever be a painter, but right now that is the hottest. It's incredible. I've got a friend of mine as a painter. He said I could paint 25 hours a day and still have stuff to work on the next 3 years. And he can charge whatever he wants. Now, if that's a job you want, and he charges quite a bit. He painted my last house and he did me a job. But yeah, there are the skill jobs. And again, is that something you want to do for the rest of your life? I don't know. It lends itself to all kinds of different things. info@tonycurryradio.net. I have another email that I actually solicited, went out and got. I'll get in just a second. You bring up something really interesting, though, too. And I heard a story on NPR about this several weeks ago, because the housing market and how expensive inflation and everything else is going on in our economy right now, a lot of parents who obviously hurt when they kids want to leave. You know, some of us were told we had to leave when we were 18. My parents weren't one of them, but they did want to see that natural progression in me grow. But if you are okay with your child living under your roof, under your rules, and they can make good jack $60,000-$70,000 for 4 or 5 years while they live in your home, perhaps pay a little rent, maybe help around the house a little bit, then of course they got this nice chunk of change to maybe perhaps buy their first home, get married or whatever. So that really sets up. Ella in Birmingham had a very interesting question. She said, ask Michael, if you don't go to college right after high school, what are the chances you will go to college? And second of all, if you make your child go to college right out of high school, but it doesn't work out, how do potential business owners look at someone who gave college a shot but didn't like it and they want to get into skill work?
Well, that's probably going to be dependent on each employer. I will tell you, I don't look at that. That's not a negative to me.
Okay.
I would say it probably is to a lot of employers. But, you know, I've said this many times on the show. I come from, you know, don't be afraid to fail. And just because you start out in life and you get to going down a certain path and you're like, hey, this path isn't for me. I have respect for people who go, well, look, I'm just not going to continue down a path that I know I'm ultimately not going to live on. I've got to start over or reshift my direction. And so that's what. And so lots of times you'll encounter somebody who has already experienced something and said, I don't want this. So imagine if you had an 18-year-old kid who comes to you and he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to go to college, but he's really not motivated to do anything. Well, lots of times I've seen kids come out, you know, not make it through college, and they come home and they're like, man, I've blown that opportunity. Maybe I'm mature. Maybe I go back. I have a friend who was a judge, and he had two of his sons went off to college, got into fraternities. They just weren't mature enough, and they blunked and came back home and worked a little while, and they ended up going back to school, and they learned a lesson. And I think that's what failure does. I think it's one of our best teachers. And, you know, what they were blessed was they were blessed with a safety net because, you know, they came home, and now mama's doing their laundry. Mama's making up their bed. Mama's cooking their food. They still have a car. And they find the dad goes, hey, you know, y'all are going to work. Yeah. And so they work for about a year. And it just, that's just part of the transition into adulthood. And it looks different for everybody. Some people can go to a four-year college. They nail it. They go right into grad school. I mean, it's just laid out for them. And it just fits who they are. And some people have it laid out and they're like, I don't care if it's laid out or not. This is not my path. This is not something I'm interested in. And I really admire people who don't take the established way, but they're like, no, I'm going to chase what I'm passionate about. And sometimes at 20 and 21, you still don't know what you're passionate about. You're still being introduced to that. But you give me somebody that comes up to me and says, Hey, Michael, here's the deal. I went to college. And it just wasn't my thing. I want to learn. I'm really interested in learning about this. And they show they have a passion. They show they have character. You dad, I'm right. I'll give them a job and work them, because I think that's somebody who they've actually learned by failing. And now they're doing a reset. And I think those are valuable people to have in life.
No, you nailed it. Yeah, and we only have a couple minutes, but I have to ask you this question. We could probably continue this next week if you wanted to, because my brain is just swirling right now. Maybe it's because I've got a son But, you know, first of all, depending on what field you want to get into, there are a lot of great colleges out there that will allow you to do internships with some of these areas. I know depending on whether you're getting a scholarship or getting paid, you can't really have a job in high school, much like an athlete. In some cases, you can. But you can work for free and get some skill so that when you do get out, you've got yourself a surefire job, which I think is really, really cool. And the other thing is, you just mentioned it. They used to ask us as a junior, you know, what do you want to do for a living? Now they're asking you when you're in sixth or seventh grade, what do you want to do for a living? They're already taking SATs when they're eighth and ninth grade. And it's like, wow. And you're asking kids that aren't fully developed at 16, 17, 18, 19 to decipher what they want to get into, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a college career when they're 21 or 22, knowing that this world, I mean, hell, just 20 years ago, technology was at a total different spot. It could totally change. But I will say this, having that college education certainly will help you, you know, transcend or transgress, go into a different area of your job skill. So I think that's important to do. So,
I will tell you, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. I don't think anybody will ultimately regret the fact that they got a degree.
Agree.
In the sense of, hey, I've got that in my hip pocket. I can always put that on a resume. Now, what they may come to terms with is maybe I didn't get the right degree, or maybe I spent a bunch of money for a degree that's not going to open up. You know, I'm limited as to what I could do. So you take sales, for instance. People say, well, I'm getting sales, I'm going to get a degree in business management. Well, I've seen some people that are natural salesmen. They don't have any college, but they're fantastic salesmen. So again, it really depends on the person based on what they want, what their background, what their opportunities are. Some people are going to have more opportunities than others. It's always going to be that way. You're not going to change that. There's not a one size fits all. Sometimes college is the perfect fit. Sometimes, staying at home for a couple of years and maybe working even, you know, $10 an hour job just while you just grow up a little bit is the right fit. But these kids today have, you know, it's almost like if you don't leave, if you're up there at graduation and they don't announce you as going away to college, or you don't have college scholarships or whatever, it's almost like you feel like you're a failure.
Yeah, and it's not.
And, you know, and even if you've got scholarships to a junior college or whatever, it just doesn't have the same stigma. I mean, you know, not the stigma, but the same weight to it. And so there's a stigma like, oh, well, you're not as intelligent, and so you have to go to community college, or you don't aspire to greater things, or you're never going to be a professional. But I really think we are starting, and you see this in the data, is that those opinions are starting to change, especially the more and more people are saying, why do I want to get a college degree is valuable, but let's say I'm going to get it in sociology or and not that those aren't important, but some of the poorest paid people out there are sociologists and people who work in the social fields, and they end up getting a master's degree in social work. And it's incredibly difficult to deal with some of the worst of humanity in terms of the struggle and what they have to face. And they're the poorest paid. And you ask yourself, wait a minute, this wasn't worth $120,000. This was, you know, so just, I just hope the audience takes out of this that, you know, college may be the right answer for them. It may not be. Right now it's trending against college. More and more people are becoming convinced, I don't want to have a big student loan debt on me. At the time, if I had to do over again, it was the right choice for me the way I did it. But again, mine was non-traditional as well. So everybody's kind of got to figure it out, but don't ever be afraid for people to find their own path either, even if it's non-traditional and it doesn't meet other people's expectations.
Got a couple of stories real quick. My best friend that I went to college with up in Cincinnati, his son is 19 years old. His name is Alex. He got straight A's through high school. He's a professional bowler. He's like, Dad, and he's like, okay. And he's making about $130,000 this year being a professional bowler, and he absolutely loves it. And then Ashley Gann, I don't know if you know her. She's a chief meteorologist here for a local television station.
She used to be down here in Montgomery. I do know her.
Yeah, she does. And she has a master's degree in aerospace science. She is a rocket scientist but she's doing meteorological work because that's what she loves to do. And there's nothing better than when someone says, yeah, I've got a, you know, a bachelor's in science or a bachelor's in psychology, but they're doing something they really love. But you can't tell me they don't utilize some of that effort that they put in over those 4 years in whatever they're doing, which I think is really cool. So, hey, I'm sure we're going to get some emails on this. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurry, that's with a K, tonycurry.net. Please send us your emails. We'll go through those. And I wanted to tell everybody, I'm coming down to see your facility coming up on Wednesday. Can't wait to break some bread with you and have breakfast with you. And I'm going to have just a whole host of other questions I want to ask you about, because this is the first time I've actually seen where you work. And so I'm looking forward to doing that on Wednesday.
Very excited to have you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Michael, thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Enjoy it as always, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.